Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Is The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. How about waking up and there's ice on your windshield? Y'all don't know about ice on the windshield, okay? I suffered through Green Bay.
This wasn't real ice.
You turn the defrost on and it's gone in about.
Yeah.
The real stuff, you can't get it off with a scraper. Yeah. That's real. Okay.
Don't you have to do hot water?
Yeah. But your windshield freezes up right away. Now, I've been
wearing
hot water. Well, by the time it gets down to the bottom, it's frozen and you make it worse.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. So yeah, no. You got to watch. You start your car about a half hour before you leave, and then you come back in the house. That's why a lot of these new cars now where you can start it from afar.
I did that today.
It's perfect.
I did that today, and then I get in, and there's one side that's defrosted, the driver's side, but it came off. Today was like okay, because I always act like I could live in a cold weather environment. And today was one of those days I walk outside and I say, okay.
It wasn't even that cold, though.
No, it wasn't, because it's not windy at all.
No.
You throw some wind in it, it's...
Yeah, it was 34. I mean, dude.
Yeah.
That's nothing.
Now, for here, it's cold.
It's cold.
It's cold
for here.
And
I'm surprised there's school today. I really am.
Well, Klein, I need to check...
You need to check?
I need to check Klein, because they clearly don't want to literally put their lives at risk with icy roads. The kids.
Yeah.
So... Even the virtual. Why are we even having virtual school? Power lines are down because of the ice storm.
We had to wrap our pipes.
Yeah.
We got to unwrap the pipes. I can't go to school today.
Power lines are down across the city.
No, they're not. They're not, Klein. But I'm sure they wanted to take off.
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I need to see what happens when if they want virtual school canceled because of it being cold. There's a good chance. If you've never seen, it's Klein, is it Klein ISD? I got to see the account. It's famous. It's world famous because these kids are the biggest crying ass kids in history. If it rains, they're like, I can't believe you haven't canceled school. We're out here risking our lives getting to school. Like, people wreck all the time and like, there's floods. We could end up without our parents. Like, oh my God. Sometimes I just hope that people are leaning into it as a joke. That would make it funny. But the more you read, the more you realize it's real. It's a horrifying feeling that people that age, and I've got kids that age, they're going to be the next group. I've already heard talk about, well, you know, maybe Gen Z is going to be better than the millennials, because usually the group that comes after them, they rebel against the prior group, and they do stuff that, oh, no.
No.
Gen Z is way worse.
Way softer.
These kids have been watching phones and shopping carts at grocery stores since they were 2 months old.
Yeah.
They are the most, give me what I want now.
So let's get to the Texans. And it was a cold day.
Let's piece this together. Who is the owner of the Texans?
Cal.
Knowledge is power.
What do we say? Oh, no, not okay. Game of Thrones.
No, yeah, not no. Game of Thrones.
In real life.
Real life, it's Cal McNair.
Okay, who was Cal's dad?
Cal was Bob McNair.
Okay, now I'm just trying to follow the money here. Now, Bob McNair, I would say, was loyal to a lot of people around the Texans for a long time, right?
Yeah.
Who is a player that he was maybe most loyal to?
Brian Cushing?
Yes, that's correct.
All right.
He stuck with Brian Cushing for a long time, well beyond when he probably should have been cut. He had two issues with PEDS, and they kept him there. Not only that, but they even made him a strength coach.
Yeah.
So now he's a strength coach. And then tell people what happened yesterday. The first bit of information was like, huh. The second one was like, wait, what are we doing now? What is this?
Are you – well, here's the deal is I'm not sure, but if I was a player – see, we can't put this on Kush because we don't know.
No,
and
I'm
oh,
just
by the
saying,
way, Kush, you know, he loses his job if he's handing out pads to these guys.
No. It's
job.
Just ironic.
It is. I mean, your strength and conditioning coach, a guy who got a lot of his power from doing steroids –
presumably
is the guy that you're putting in charge
when he had the testicular issue or when he overtrained
yeah,
or whatever
all that yeah,
remember
yeah, yeah.
Maybe he got his power from that
right that's like, you know, the Astros bringing in Jose Canseco to be their strength and conditioning coach.
Yes,
you know, it's a little, it's, you know, you usually get those guys out of the locker room because they, you know, they had their own problems. And oh, by the way, you don't know how good Brian Cushing would have ever been if he never did a steroid. So, you know, how much of that was produced and how much was that really him that actually played like that? But we can't put it on Brian Cushing. These guys might have gone, you know, who knows?
No.
I love the excuse, though. Immediately, a doctor. See, you never hear what the ped was. The league keeps it to themselves. All you hear is he suspended six games. Bradley Roby suspended six games. Will Fuller suspended six games. And then you could come up with whatever. It's like the Forrest Whitley.
Or Twitter.
The Forrest Whitley. I smoked a joint. Well, or Forrest Whitley, you did steroids to be a better pitcher. Or you, I don't know, you were
so
doing blood.
You know.
All you would say, oh, well, I was in the car with somebody
well,
that was smoking weed.
It's the same as hack Twitter. My Twitter got hacked.
Yeah.
And it's just a coverall. Well, you know what? I took a substance that was tainted. I didn't know
it
had that.
A doctor gave it to me and didn't know.
And didn't know.
Okay.
I know it's ultimately my responsibility, guys.
Yes.
It's the same thing over and over. Bradley Roby's stuff was so lame. It's just.
Bradley Roby didn't even try.
Bradley didn't even write that. That's Bradley's agent said here. Just copy and paste.
Yes.
Something they already
have
ready.
Here's a reaction from, 4 years ago. Here's a good reaction. I took a substance I didn't know. I should have known better. And, it's on me. I apologize to everyone. Now give me my money. So it's just, I mean, two guys in the same week, two of your best players on each side of the ball, arguably.
Oh, no, your best corner
and your best
and your most dangerous wide receiver.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, Will Fuller is a top 10 wide receiver this year. Make no mistake. Go look at all the numbers.
Is he really?
Oh,
a top
my goodness!
10?
Yes, he's a top 10 wide receiver this year.
Well, what is this going to? So, what's interesting is I was on with the Blitz yesterday. You can catch me every Monday at about 5:30
on your show,
on my show, my top, formerly top rated show. And
what's your job on that show? Do they discuss that when things aren't going well?
Football
do they say
analyst? Well, it's their job to produce the numbers. It's mine to help bolster, and I'm doing what I can. Okay.
Right. Well. Well,
not on this show.
Not really doing it, though.
Not on this show, but
okay.
I don't bolster as much, but this is John's job at this point.
That's me.
You and Dell, kind of.
I gotcha.
But so we were talking. The first thing Fred asked was, "What do you think this does to Will's contract situation now? Does this help the Texans?"
That's a
and honestly
multi-million dollar question.
I think it does help. I think it potentially helps the Texans, and here's why. Every team knows that if he gets popped again. It's good. Now, they may look at it as, look, he's not stupid enough to get popped again. But if he gets popped again, he's going to have some major, major issues in terms of suspension. This is a six-game suspension. This is a ton. This is a lot of paychecks. So the Texans could use this as leverage to say, hey, you've already done this, but we want you. Now, as we mentioned yesterday, they could put a transition. They could put a franchise on him, which would be stupid. They could put a transition, which would be a little smarter. It's 15 million plus a year, and if somebody wants to give more, then adios, we'll see you later, because you're going to be a really high paid wide receiver. And the Texans just told us they couldn't do that because Nuke Hopkins. We just heard you can't possibly have a wide receiver making that much money. It's impossible. We heard that, and so especially with your left tackle and your quarterback. So more than likely, the Texans will say, "Look, Will, we'll offer you, we'll offer you." A 3-year deal at $12 million per, and we'll see what happens. Something like that. And if you're smart, if you've got some negotiating power, they don't have that in the building now, obviously, because they've gotten their brains beaten in on every negotiation. But if they get somebody who has some experience, maybe they can utilize this. Because I wouldn't mind seeing Will Fuller stay at the right price.
Right. No. It's got – well, you know, this is a Carlos Correa situation. This is – you know, they're almost dealing exactly – he's important to the team. He's, you know, a vital cog. And you don't know if he can stay on the field. And this year he was staying on the field. He was doing it, you know, pharmaceutically, but he was staying on the field. And oh well, you know what? You got a guy who was actually performing.
It was a protein shake.
Yeah, right. No, the doctor gave him something.
Will Fuller the doctor?
Will Fuller was the doctor.
And then Bradley Roby was just taking.
He was intaking something that he didn't know, that he should have known.
Did he say he should have known, or is like it was just tainted?
It was
because my favorite is I just had.
No,
some,
I should have known. I'm a professional.
I was taking
athlete.
some vitamins or whatever, and it may have been tainted somehow. I have no idea how this happened.
We've got Jimbo Fisher up next here, and then we've got an NFL player who Lance is his muse. So we will talk about that. We've got a lot to do here, but you Aggie fans. Jimbo Fisher next right here on ESPN 97.5.
For the rest of you, how about, Aggie fans too, how about SiteJab? How about if you've got a website and you know your website hasn't been redone in a few years or maybe even in 2 or 3 years, chances are, and if the right person didn't do it, then how about right now regardless? You are going to have a website that is not up to par. It is not going to be up to what your competition is. And what happens is when people who are potential consumers look at your web design and look at your website, they're going to judge you against others based on how it looks, how quickly they get to the information. And subconsciously, even if your work is good, they're going to hold it against you because you don't look as professional as the other guy. SiteJab helps you do just that. They have been doing this for 2 decades. They build mobile-ready websites to go with the desktop websites versions so that you have the best of all worlds covered. They can also do branding videos. They can help you with getting your marketing message out there. There's so much more than just web design. Check them out for yourself. Go look at their portfolio at sitejab.com. That's sitejab.com. And let them help you convert those eyes into business leads. It's sitejab.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Time to talk to the head coach of them Fighting Aggies. They had a fight on their hands on Saturday night, and they beat LSU 20-7. A little payback for last year. As the Aggs, fifth ranked in the country, still very much in the hunt for the playoff. Coach Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5. Coach, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great. How was your Thanksgiving, Coach?
I was good. It was good. And busy as always. The Thanksgiving is always eat and try to spend a little bit of time, but, you know, you got those games to get ready for.
It's always a work
day. Always a work day. I saw my dad at Thanksgiving when I was in college for the first 30 years of my life. But Sometime he would have players come over. Players didn't have. Of course, you know, we found out later. Oh, that's not,
illegal.
That's illegal. You can't take kids who are from out of state and have nowhere to go for Thanksgiving and give them some food. You can't do that.
Right,
I mean,
that's
terrible.
You're a terrible.
You're gaining
person.
A huge advantage by doing that.
You're a terrible person.
Course.
If you do that.
But yeah, but it was. And then once he got in the NFL, it was well, it depended. But he still loves watching Thanksgiving Day games, Coach. Yeah. He loves watching those games.
Yep. And Coach, you've got LSU to get ready for every year at Thanksgiving. So I imagine that's a little distracting. Talk to us about this. This game didn't go how we thought with the offenses that these two teams have. What was it about? Was the weather involved, or what was it about that made this such a low scoring, hard fought game?
Well, I think first we played outstanding defense. I think our defense was outstanding in the game, controlled the line of scrimmage. They did some things on defense. Are very good. They've got very good players. You can say whatever you want. They haven't had as much success, but their players are very good. And we didn't execute. We had timing issue. We missed. You know, and it, we took our. As I said on our press conference, we took. If you look at the film, we took blocks we usually make, and there's four or five runs that are one block from coming. I mean, scoring just like the other big run Spiller had, and we didn't make them. We didn't find the inches. We missed throws. We dropped balls. We didn't run routes like we needed to. I mean, just I was thinking, you know, and then I think you pressed and you tried to get on too much. But the thing we did, we kept poise in that we didn't turn it over and do the things we had to do. I had a mistake, you know, on a fourth down situation where we didn't need to, you know, Kellen didn't need to stick that ball out like that. He tried to take a chance, and that never can happen. That it goes to right. I mean, and it was just accumulation things, but at the same time. Our defense was outstanding. And the funny thing about our team, that keeps resonating. Listen, you know, as a coach, you're never satisfied, but we've won two games in which offensively, you know, Vanderbilt, we struggled just on self-inflicted wounds in this game, and we won defensively raised up. We won two games where we never got a stop on defense against Florida, and we scored every time, and we did the same thing to Arkansas, and we won. And now those are things you got to get fixed, and you got to keep going, but we've won two games. Well, the defense haven't played well. Won two games where the offense hasn't played well, but we won. And there's an art to winning and what goes on. I'm not trying to find a silver lining, but it's the truth about who you are. And we have to clean some things up offensively. Things are, and both situations are never as good or never as bad as they seem. It just goes back to fundamentals and finding those inches on those plays to make those plays.
You know, I think it is interesting. You've got an intriguing team because a lot of teams we look at who are in the top five. I mean, you have clear cut stars. So at wide receiver, at running back, quarterback, defensive line, linebacker, you're one of the few teams that I remember seeing in the top five who you don't really look at the team and say star, star, star. I mean, Spiller's having a big year as a running back. You got three wide receivers. None of them have 400 yards. You're spreading it out. One of them's a tight end. It's just really interesting. Buddy Johnson's having a good year, a strong year. It's nothing crazy. It's really been a team effort on both sides. I mean, it really is one of those things where you're not relying on one guy to just play way over his head. Everyone's playing at a kind of a similar level for you.
It's a very good point. We're playing as a team. And then the other point the other day, the other guy was out staying in our game was our punter. Man, how many balls we were able to kick? We could have kicked some long field goals, but they weren't moving the football. So, you know, we're putting the ball down inside the 10-yard line. And it paid off with one turnover for a touchdown. I mean, you know, we played it a little bit old school in some different ways. But, you know, our punter did a good job. Our kickoff guy did a good job. Nice. Now, we had a big punt return, which we got back to the 22. And we actually had a holding call on, which, you know, was a discrepancy on a call that I didn't like that call, but would have given us points. I mean, we kind of were stealing it that way. But at the same time, you're right. Our team is playing as a team, but we have really good players. But like I said, we don't have the superstar or the guy that's erasing, but there's a lot of young players on this field as far as skill positions, but they're doing a really good job, and we're getting better and better each time.
One quick follow-up. You mentioned the punter. Of course, Braden Mann was an incredible punter when he was there as well. Josh Lambeau, before you got there, as a kicker in the NFL, who did a great job. I'm kind of curious, that third phase, special teams called the third phase, coaches obsess about it. The general fan base, a lot of times, they don't think about it as much as you guys do. Can you talk for a second about kind of that third phase and just how vital it is from things like just staying in your lanes on kick cover team to, you know, having a really good gunner, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, that's where I think we've really improved in not giving up punt returns. You know, we kick it 42, 43 yards and give me that. We're getting a high four and a half, high four hang. So you're winning those battles, being able to create. The other thing is hold up on gun, winning the battles to give your punt return guy. Let him get a first down. If he's going to get 10 yards of return, that's outstanding. The other night, and I had one for that really broke out there, fielding balls, not letting them hit the ground, not losing field position and hitting yardage that way. Our kickers, our punter did a great job of doing that when the field punts, and then our pooch kicks and things inside the 10, 15, we had like 4 or 5 in their field position. We're backed up constantly in what they were trying to do. And our kickoff guy, Caden Davis, has done an outstanding job not giving their great skill guys a chance to return it. And Seth hit 2 big field goals the other day. I mean, in the first wet field, when you kick on a wet field, you watch the first kick he makes. He hits his tail. He hits his butt. His feet come clear out from under him, and he still was able to make the kick in the wet conditions and things like that. So, I mean, there's a lot that goes on there that you don't realize that, man, those hidden yards and field position where you start is huge. And it's been a big benefactor all year for us in the success we've had offensively and defensively.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue here. If you didn't get your turkey for Damaris Barbecue this Thanksgiving, then your turkey wasn't as good as mine, that's for sure. If you're looking for that barbecue, Damaris Barbecue, 2 locations on West Loop and on Shepherd. Coach, these guys, a lot of the pundits, they don't have to play LSU. They don't have to look at those athletes. They don't have to. They don't know how tough it is. But there were so many people talking about style points and what you have to do to impress the playoff committee.
I don't believe it. Stop you right there. I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
We got to win football games. Our job is to win football games, and how you win football games and what you do. If you win 9 games in the SEC, you'll be right in that hunt. And we can control. Hey, the other, we have been having style points up until this week. So all of a sudden, just because the rankings come out, we got to stay where we're at, keep the course of what we're doing, play better football. And if you play good football, you get style points. You got to play better, and you can't concentrate on style points. You concentrate on playing good football and doing those things, and all of a sudden, those things come to fruition, and you don't even realize it. When you're trying to do that, when you can't do that, and I think that, you know, the other day when we weren't getting there, we rat-trapped some routes, we changed some routes, and got depth wrong, and tried to ad-lib a little bit and do some things that we normally didn't do, and you know, it all got in there. We missed throws. We did, you know, and you can't do that. You got to just keep your poise, play the game. The points will come, the plays will come, and you'll get your points when you play good football. That's the key to everything.
Coach, when you won it, did you have to politic at all? Do you have to go out in there and you have to pine for your team? Do you have to convince?
No, I don't think so. I really don't. I mean, you'll say when the time comes, but the body of work is not in. You put the cart before the horse. You got to take care of your business, be there, do what you got to do, and then those things will take care of themselves. And when you argue with somebody, you got to have the proof on the pudding of what you've done during your season. It's accumulation of a whole season. We've done some great things. If we handle our business, and listen, we're gonna have a dog fight on our hands this week. Listen, Auburn coming off a loss at home is very tough. They're physical. They're hard. They're playing great defense. Offensively, they got their skill guys out wide are really good. A quarterback can make plays with his legs. They got a really good back. I mean, we're gonna be in a dog fight this week. It's just, hey, let's go play ball. When the accumulation of work, and let's see how the season, and let's see how we finish the season.
I don't even want to ask you about the 19th because that's a game that you may need to play that you don't know how your opponents will how serious they'll be taking it if their season's basically over. So we won't even talk about that for a second. You got 2 others before you get there. I am curious, though, that this late into a season, you got regular season games now. You've got 2 and you got 3 scheduled because you got a makeup game. How is this different for you as a team? How is this altering some of your regularly scheduled stuff? Is there recruiting stuff that's being affected by this? Or
big time.
Is there?
Big time. You're gonna have a signing day in the middle of a regular season game. Well, you're trying to close on guys right now, and you can't be out. Times that, you know, we had, you know, this time to be where we could spend so much time on, which we do at night anyway, but it's still, I mean, you're game planning. You're Zoom calling. You're getting these calls in. You're trying to finalize the last part of your class. This is extremely, extremely difficult, much more difficult than it's ever been. Because a regular season game, you know, you have your 1 championship game. There's always that 2 or 3 week lull in there. You're bowl practicing, but that's different than, you know, having a regular season game that matters. This is totally different circumstances, and totally the time consumption and the amount of time you're doing things, man, is different than it's ever been, and it's very, very demanding.
Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, you talk about, man, Coach, I'll tell you that Alabama, you watch that Alabama game, and Auburn is a good football team, and again, Alabama just running through them last week. That's got to be tough film to watch, isn't it?
Well, no, I mean, you get ideas, but the thing about it is Alabama's so skilled. I mean, it goes back to their big plays. I mean, they hit Smith on a slant route, and all of a sudden it's 70 yards away. I mean, you're running through guys. I mean, and that's, you know, they have elite skill guys that are doing a great job, and they're playing at a high level, and they're balanced on offense. And then Auburn had some opportunities to make plays and drop a couple balls that could have really made it interesting. And but, you know, you can't do that against Alabama. Same thing we did. We had opportunities. You got to capitalize on those opportunities, or they bite you because they're so skilled at the wide out positions and the guys that touch the ball.
Well, you guys are taking care of business. Take care of it again this week, Coach. Another big game. They're all big from here on. They've been big all season long in this crazy season, that's for sure. So we'll be rooting on the Maggies on Saturday. Your home is right here, ESPN 97.5. Thanks, Coach. We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
All right, and that's brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. As I mentioned, you can get your barbecue on. You can watch your Aggies. You can watch your pro football team there. They've got all of the NFL. They got the NFL package over there at Damaris Barbecue. So you got everything you could possibly need right there on 18th Street and the 610 Feeder. And, of course, on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama, you can get your grub on there. And they've got TVs there as well. So you got everything going on at Damaris, DEMERIS.com. By the way, if you got any catering needs, Damaris.com. I want to talk right now about my man, Doc Linville. I swear I get more comments. They're like, man, the hair. It's made a new man out of me. As I mentioned, I was a mangy dog before, and now, I mean, I had a giant 9-iron divot out of the back. I had some holes up front. The doc filled them all in. It was an easy, easy process. It couldn't have been better. He texts me now. He's watching on Twitch. He sees it, and he's saying, man, dude, looking pretty darn good. And I'm like, yeah, it's all because of him. And you can have that too. You really, really can. It is an easy, simple process, and you are going to love it. I'm telling you, Doc is awesome. You go to 975hair.com, see for yourself. Just look at Fred. That's all you have to do. Just look at Fred and see what the doc has done. He's a new man, only he's got a ponytail, so he's a different kind of man. It's 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 729 ESPN 97.5. What do you think about, you still, and Dal, you said it yesterday, I believe. You still believe the Aggs are right there and got a great shot, especially since there's a couple games left here.
Yeah, the Aggies, I don't care about style points, and Jimbo just cut that point off immediately. Win your games and hope the scenario falls where Notre Dame beats Clemson and Florida loses to Alabama.
I'll play the devil's advocate here. A&M's the team that's got to be most careful, because there's always teams every single year on the outside looking in. People start to make arguments for them, and that team gets whacked at the end of the year. It happens every single year. So they have two games. Neither one is a layup against Tennessee. Well, they have three, technically. And once again, I think the Ole Miss game is going to be played. And here's the thing. The Aggies may get a completely they may have a ton of opt-outs from Ole Miss. They may have people just – we're seeing people just basically quit football en masse. Now, every day I've got new people that I'm he's opted out and going to start. This is going to be an issue every year now. You know this, right? Mm-hmm. This is not about – Now players will be playing 2.5 years, and they will be gone. This is not about, because opt-out was introduced because of COVID, it is now a thing that's being used where guys just say, I'm just quitting and going to start draft stuff. Because they start getting paid by agents will front them money, and so now they're just quitting on their teams. I mean, this is a major, major issue that's going to develop. And I knew it would. It was a matter of time for this to happen. And now you're going to see, I think, guys just start opting out of college football for their junior years. They're going to play 2 years, and they will just opt out, not have to go to classes, stuff like that. This is going to be a major issue that college football is going to have to look at. But regardless, Ole Miss, if they have to play December 19th, I just can't imagine they're going to be really into it. But it could end up being a huge game for A&M. It could be a one of those games where A&M beats the brakes off of Ole Miss, because Ole Miss is just, you know, either COVID issues. And what happens if Ole Miss has COVID issues and can't play? They're not going to pick up the game the 26th. That's not going to happen. So we'll see if they even get to that one. The next two, though, are not easy ones. Tennessee, they've got players, and Auburn is not going to be easy. These are two games that are going to be a potential challenge. They're both on the road. So we'll see how that plays out.
Not nearly the effect that it's had in the past, but with no fans. So.
No, that's true. But you have travel. And
yeah.
So, you know, and you are in the middle of December. It could be colder, especially in Tennessee. It could be a little bit colder, you know, how you handle cold weather. We'll see what happens. Because today, John, I don't know if you know it, ice was on windshields.
Ice was on windshields, and thank God
we were all... You could not have played football in this weather.
Please, please.
You could not have played...
Be careful out there, because it's going to be...
People don't play football in this weather in the north, right? It's too cold.
No, it's too cold.
Yeah.
It's 62 degrees we're talking about here. 62 degrees today, maybe 64.
Well, the high is going to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, be careful out there. Be careful out there, because this is something that I don't know that we're used to. You know what, waking up with 34 and getting to 64, heating up 30 degrees during the day. Yeah, it's 11 o'clock on Saturday against Auburn. And then December 12th, they've got at Tennessee. And then the 19th, they'll play Ole Miss, I guess. It's not scheduled yet. Because A&M's got a possibility of playing in the championship game. But I wonder if they don't play, are they going to play Ole Miss on the 19th? If they don't play in the championship
game? I don't know where the SEC has sided with that, but the Ole Miss game is contingent on Alabama winning out.
Yeah. Right,
or not even winning out, not losing two games.
Yeah, they said Ole Miss is just postponed for now, but that and it may be played on the 19th while the SEC championship is being played between Alabama and Florida, which is going to happen. Alabama ain't losing, and Florida probably cruises in as well. So the Aggies are going to have to hope that the committee lets a team that doesn't get to the championship game back in.
They've let it happen before, right, with Ohio State, so there is precedent for that. And it helps that they're an SEC school, because they do get preferential treatment.
Right, and it'll be interesting if Ohio State only plays five games, if they'll let them in with five games.
Yeah, I wonder how much the committee will take into account. It's really hard to win a lot of games. And Ohio State, sure, they've been affected by COVID, but not playing games means the lack of injury concern goes down.
Right.
Lack of having to worry about depth goes down, while A&M had to go through, at this point, it looks like in all likelihood, a 10-game schedule over a 5 or 6-game schedule. How much importance is placed on, you know, having a team going through a year? Ohio State may be the most talented, but you know what? We've seen Ohio State lose to Purdue by 20-plus points at home. Because that's what happens when you play a full year. You don't have it all the time. Not only playing 5-6 games gives you less opportunities for that to happen.
Yep. Ohio State was a given. It was Ohio State and Alabama that were givens. It was, you know, who's going to come out, Notre Dame or Clemson? Who's going to come out? Well, Florida is going to be eliminated because of Alabama. Ohio State was just a given in the top four. And if they only play five games, they're not anymore. So that opens up another spot. That was a spot
why do you think it's not a given that they still are?
Well, because five games isn't enough for the committee.
Why do we think that?
Because
they have all the – they're still – they can't play in a Big Ten championship game.
USC's only a game behind them.
Yeah, but USC didn't start the season with the same – they don't have Fields. They don't have – the same level of talent. They didn't play in the college football playoffs last year. Ohio State was already there.
Yeah, last year shouldn't count. But
it does.
I know, but it should. Not to this committee.
Well, I know it should.
Not to this committee.
But we know what. But right. Realistically,
well,
does
and again,
it?
And again, it should go by what happens on the field as opposed to what I think. And
well, if it goes by what happens on the field, then USC is not in.
But the reason the USC is way back is because, well, we don't have big enough sample size. Ohio State's only played one more game.
Yeah, but they haven't even looked. But USC hasn't even looked good. They beat. I mean, it was a miracle against Arizona State, against Utah. They were by, it was back and forth
and
in
again,
Utah.
By those standards, then A&M
is
then
way better than USC.
I know, but A&M is way better. By those standards, that's not what, you know, it's not supposed to be about style points. We've been talking about that for the last 10 minutes. It's
and
not
it
supposed
does.
To be about that. It's supposed to be about wins and
okay,
losses.
We got to start dealing with what's real. It is about style points, and it is about your reputation, and it is about what the expectations are for you. You can't keep acting like it doesn't matter when you know it does.
Well, no, I understand that. But it'll be interesting to see. If Ohio State's only played five games, if this committee is going to be contradictory, because it certainly wasn't enough for USC, and so everybody else has an argument, wait a minute, it's good enough for five games, is good enough for Ohio State, but it's not good enough for everybody else? That's bull.
Well,
that's bull.
You can say
and
it's bull, but
particularly the resume that Ohio State is putting together, the Indiana win is fine, but they didn't look particularly great in the second half.
You want to go through how good the Big Ten is again, Dal? You want to play that game?
Yeah.
You're going to lose.
How am I going to lose?
Big Ten's very good.
No, it's not. And then you look at who else did they beat? Rutgers, Nebraska.
An improved Rutgers team, a Nebraska team.
Who stinks. And then who else?
They're terrible.
And Penn State, who's 1-5.
How is Scott Frost? Scott Frost was supposed to be a lock to be good. Like, that was going to turn Nebraska around. What is that? They've shown no signs in 3 years of turning around. Like, none.
Well, and if I'm Cincinnati and I've played 10 games or 11 games by the time this thing is said and done, and undefeated, and Ohio State gets in with five games, I'm going to be like, really?
But that's COVID. I mean, we're in a different Big Ten state. It's not you also can't punish Ohio State, a team has that pedigree. You can't, and frankly, one of the best quarterbacks, not the best quarterback in the nation. I mean, you can make that argument, too. He's not going to get drafted first.
You look at Ohio State's team currently today, they have some issues in the secondary. The only time they played a quarterback worth anything, he put up yards and points against them. So the pedigree, I'm not pretending like it doesn't matter. It certainly does.
No, but they don't have the defensive front, and they don't have the secondary. Their defense is not a swarming
unit.
Yes,
as much as they fought to play, and I understand you want to because they thought this was a special team. They're not a now. Who knows?
You can keep having this argument if you want. You know what's going to happen.
Well,
Ohio State is going to get in.
We do a show. What else are we going to talk about?
Sure.
I'm positive. It'll be a lot.
I don't think five is a guarantee.
And it's also the Skrilla. People want to see Ohio State play too. They want to see Ohio State play.
Well,
it's a money game.
If they don't get this,
now you could just say, hey, let's make it a game about Ohio, y'all. Hey, Cincinnati, Ohio State. Since all the rules are off the table this year, square up.
If Ohio State play. Because Michigan has some issues.
Loserly
we'll see.
Town match.
If Ohio State still is not sure they're going to play this upcoming week, we'll see about that. If they play five, I could see two SEC, two ACC teams making it. I could see it happening. If they only play five, it would be a shock to quite a bit.
You're crazy. Big Ten came back. And you know the NCAA is not going
to
thank you for coming back.
With it.
Thank you for doing your part. You're going to get. We're not going to leave you
thanks
out.
Thanks for
Big Ten. Like we risked our lives for this,
but the
for nothing.
The NCAA doesn't have anything to do with the college football championship. That would be up to those people in the room. I could see it if they could find a way out of it. Hey, you only play five, and you happen to play Wisconsin.
They needed to get to four. And Wisconsin's lost. They missed three games already.
But they might play Wisconsin tonight.
I barely have enough tape on Wisconsin to even make a good guess on what they do. I'll probably give a terrible write-up like with DK Metcalf again if I just don't have enough Wisconsin tape. I mean, I don't know how I'll be able to write up one of their overrated offensive linemen.
Whoa. This seems like a shot. We'll get into your DK Metcalf slander in the next segment, I guess. But Ohio State probably will get to six, and that probably would be enough. I think five, we start the question. But six, and one of them is against Wisconsin in that final weekend where they're not in the Big Ten title game, but they get to play an extra game, which the Big Ten set up. I think six is their number, and they're locked in if they get to six. Five, we start to see.
Yep. All right, 7:41. We can't start it now. We're going to start it on the other side. Lance is getting a call, so he needs to take a break.
My son's calling me, which probably means he wants to argue about sports, about something he's listening to. Or something's happening.
Dad, five games is not enough.
I know.
Okay. All right, if you want to bet on it, let's bet on it. But if you need a generator to watch your games, then where do you go?
Oh, man, I'll tell you exactly where you go. You go to Generator Supercenter. And if you don't have a generator, and this is something that is incredibly important. Having a generator ready for when you have, sometimes really cold weather can bring really problematic issues with if it gets a lot colder than this, for example, you end up having down power lines. You can have down power lines at any time. We know that hurricanes can knock you out for a long time. If you don't have a generator, you're going to be sitting there at home with no heat. You'll be sitting there with no air conditioner. You'll be sitting there with no refrigerator or no freezer. And you know the issues that can have. When we had a hurricane hit us back in 08, I was lucky. My street specifically had the grid, had the power turned back on because we had someone who was a high-risk patient who lived on the street. The rest of the neighborhood did not have power for well over a week. And I'm telling you right now, that was a big game changer for me. You need to look into getting a generator so that this never happens to you. So it's a seamless transition. They don't do the portable generators. These are the real generators. And the Generator Supercenter, they can hook you up with a Generac automatic standby generator at your home. And Generator Supercenter, it's the nation's number one Generac generator dealer. So you got a chance to have your power on at all times. It's great peace of mind, but it's also something that really can make a huge difference for you if it's really, really hot or really, really cold and your power goes out. You don't want to be left standing there with that. Generac automatic standby generator financing is available with low monthly payments, and you can get a free estimate on this one. 281-377-9774. That's 281-377-9774. That's my guys at Generator Supercenter.
SportsMapBets.com is live. Stay up to date with betting guides for this week's NFL and college football action, or check out SportsMapBets research tools and keep the lead in your fantasy league. SportsMapBets.com has all the info you need to make the best play. Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so I am going to send you, Dell, right now, I'm going to send you a copy of the actual audio of Lisa Salters from Monday Night Football. Lisa Salters is obviously the sideline reporter, Monday Night Football. There's not really a sideline anymore. My editor at NFL.com sent this to me yesterday. He told me, hey, you made Monday Night Football for your scouting report on DK Metcalf. Now, I was extremely, I was very high on DK Metcalf. And why wouldn't you be? He was he came out, he's 6'3", 6'4", 230 pounds. He has almost no body fat on him, runs in a 4.3, has this huge catch radius, and really I thought he had tremendous potential. Like, you could see the flashes. You could. Now, A.J. Brown was the best receiver on his team that year. They had three good receivers, and A.J. Brown, you know, had the big numbers, but D.K. Metcalf had some rare physical traits, Now, D.K., I've been proven correct. I gave him my grading scale's changed, but I've given him a 6.8, which is a year one starter, chance to be a Pro Bowler. And here's what he did. He ran a 4.3 3.40 at 228 pounds. His vertical leap was over 40 inches. I mean, everything about him was a freak show, except for his change of direction numbers in the combine. A lot of people killed him for that. So in my analysis, I compared him to Josh Gordon. I had a first-round pick on him. He was inside my top 10 players in that entire draft. In my overview, this is what I say about DK Metcalf. I say, big, explosive talent with projectable upside to become a home run threat as a wide receiver one. Teams seek out pass catchers with rare height, weight, and speed dimensions, and Metcalf has those for days. While he has the talent to become a full-field threat, he's still an unpolished gem who was the second-best receiver on his college team. Until a skill set is more developed, he could begin his career as a hit-or-miss long ball threat. However, once it clicks, defenses could struggle to find solutions for him. My strengths include uncommon but highly coveted height, weight, and speed traits, quick twitch athlete with loose hips to carry him quickly in and out of his breaks. Blend of physical tools to work all three levels.
So Dale, it's like, is he burying the lead?
Can here? Wipe out. No, no, no. We got an audio. I'm waiting for Dale to just be able to pull it up.
You're pulling
well,
up.
Well, he sent it to my phone, so I got to go through this whole process.
Yeah. Okay. Hauled in multiple one-hand circus catches, menacing separation. I used the word menacing. So, menacing separation.
Yeah, you used
potential.
A lot of words here. So did you explain that Lisa Salters did this piece on him last night?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I
so
sent
Lisa
that
Salters
to him.
Does this piece. And
keep in mind, you heard him. What I said about him.
No,
you heard where I have heard, them, all that stuff.
But you're burying.
No, no,
the lead.
I have to set that up.
You're
so this,
burying the lead here.
I'm setting it up so you understand.
Lisa Salters
it.
Did a piece pregame on DK Metcalf.
A hit piece.
They showed this list that DK has in his locker.
Well, here it is.
Okay,
let's play. Oh,
why did you email it to me?
Oh, well, yeah, that's one way.
Yeah, so I could.
So there's a list, and I look at it, and this list that's in DK, that motivates. He's still got it in his locker to this day. This is 2 years into his NFL career. He's got this list in his locker, and I looked at it, and I went, oh, my gosh.
You're the second
person. So I screen grabbed it.
Yeah, my editor had already sent it to me.
I screen grabbed it, and I sent it to our group, the Glory Boys group, and I said, Lance, check this out. Go back and look at your breakdown of DK Metcalf. He has this hanging in his locker. You may be his muse. And Dell goes back and finds on NFL.com Lance's breakdown. And sure enough, you made DK great again.
It's 100%.
It's me. You've got a hat. MDK.
He's got. He made his own thing where it says round, draft pick number, and then and it just says weaknesses. And
right.
It's a bullet point.
That's
right. That's all it is. So, because that's
pick
not
32,
how it looks.
Ninth receiver weaknesses. And here are some of the weaknesses. She didn't break down weaknesses, right? No.
No.
Should rely on footwork and body positioning over arm extension
to
clear the
Todd,
top of his route.
Put y'all's Todd McShay report on there. I see y'all putting your own Scouts Inc. report on there that had him late in the first round. Put that out. Put that out there, ESPN. Why are you trying to use someone else's stuff? Garbage ass.
Fails to sell route fakes to manipulate his opponent.
That's true.
Breaks and stems aren't as sharp as they could be.
That's true.
Had separate season-ending injuries, foot and neck.
Last I checked,
suffered focus drops when working back to the ball, which he dropped a touchdown pass last night, but pissed
me
off because
he's got Andre Johnson hands.
Drop rate too high over last two seasons.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Gears it down a little when turning to locate the deep ball.
Yep.
Rushes through pattern ingredients rather than developing their flavors as a route chef.
Bam. Okay.
Let me write.
Hold
me,
on a second.
Let me get this right one again. Let me read that one again.
Don't dab. It's embarrassing.
Rushes through pattern ingredients rather than developing their flavors as a route chef. Ooh.
It was the most celebrated line of the 2018 draft by the draft community.
Oh,
2019. Easily the most celebrated
Dell
line.
Dell said, he wrote that. I said, really, Lance? You wrote that sentence?
Route chef.
Rushes through pattern ingredients rather than becoming a route chef. Yeah, Dell said, yep, he wrote that bleep trying to impress his elitist chef friends. And I said, which is harder to swallow, that sentence or his brisket?
Boom!
Oh, he's dabbed on me.
Dabbed on you.
He just dabbed
on
me.
Dabbed on you.
God, I did not expect that today.
Did not expect to get dabbed on.
And Dell said, we're entering S the H territory.
I'm out of here. I wait by. I'm out.
You out. You, Dell, and Raheel said he wanted no part of that brisket.
I don't want any part of that. He gets angry.
Me. Why did you, first of all, that is the corniest writing ever.
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Rushes, let's.
What? The route chef?
Yes.
The whole thing is how.
The route chef.
No, that's just me putting my flavor on it, putting my stamp in it.
Your flavor.
I said Charles Amenahu's movement was chopped and screwed. I put a little reference to DJ Screw in there. Yeah, check it. There's
rushes
Easter eggs all over my stuff.
Pattern ingredients rather than developing flavors as a route chef?
What?
Who calls a receiver? Is Jerry Jeudy a route chef?
I said he wasn't a route chef.
No, is Jerry Jeudy a route chef?
Hell yeah, Jerry Judy's a route chef.
Did you write route chef in a scouting report?
Calvin Ridley's a route chef.
Did you write it?
If you come out of Alabama, you're a route chef.
Did you write it in their scouting reports?
No, well, but I need
to. Wait a minute. So these guys aren't
shot? Oh, I have before. I have before, yeah.
What, you have?
I have called somebody else a route check.
You're like the foodie draft king, draft nick. Oh, the foodie draft nick.
I've done a draft on NFL.com comparing like 10 different prospects to different foods.
You've also worn an ill-fitting Cowboys hat. You do a lot of things.
That was not on me. That was not my
problem. I can't believe you wrote that sentence and you're proud of it? Actually, you didn't get arrested for it. Okay.
Arrested. Yeah. I got an immediate raise. The draft community goes, oh my God, this is incredible. Route chef. Chef's kiss.
Is he the draft bay?
Salt bay?
I am draft bay.
Oh my gosh. That is embarrassing, that sentence.
Did
you write something about a tackle who drops his anchor like a naval carrier? Did you write that too? What are you doing?
I said defensive tackles grow roots. Like I said Groot? Just the other day, yeah, whenever you can't move them, I said they grow roots. I also said I compared somebody to a tree stump. I said built like a tree stump. I said Quentin Nelson was built like a bank safe.
That's different. You didn't call anyone a route chef.
Quentin Nelson is built like a bank safe and hates humanity.
That's different than saying route chef.
No. Developing, this is what a hater sounds like.
Their flavors?
Listen to this, and
John,
you see somebody comes
John.
Up with something unique and it's flavorful. Trash. And there's Dell who wants, I want flavor on my food. And now Del, when he gets flavor on his draft, he's like,
you.
I want a bland missionary-style draft report.
No, you put curry on it.
You want... John just wants nice grandma mouth kisses, and you want missionary style draft reports. I'm giving it to you wheelbarrow style draft reports.
Wheelbarrow style.
You're mixing curry and basil.
I'm Kama Sutra of draft reports.
No, you're not.
Bang.
No, you're
now
not.
Now what? Bang.
You're not.
Look at this. Bang.
All over.
You're not. It's not the Kama Sutra.
I'm the Kama Sutra of draft reports.
This, yes. This is
Kama
your
Sutra.
Yes. This is your trash ass live long life love languages. Whatever the five love languages draft report. It's terrible.
Yes. This is the agape.
You're moving around every 3 seconds and nobody's getting anything.
This is the agape.
Yeah. There's no consistency.
No, y'all are the ones who are doing that. I'm staying in one position and just nailing those draft reports, nailing the weaknesses, and he didn't like it. So instead of taking my grade, which was top 10, everyone else, 31 teams, are clowning DK Metcalf. Arizona even drafted Andy Isabella before him. He's 5'1" and like 106 pounds, and the Cardinals go, you know what would be great right now to have a guy who's 5'1" instead of 6'4" running a 4.33? Let's draft Andy Isabella. And I'm like, what?
You know,
Arizona clowned him.
You know, when you wrote this, I got a feeling like when you got that line off and felt great about yourself, you reacted like Stan's dad did in that little room. There's white stuff all over the place.
You're not wrong.
I can't believe I came up with this.
You're not wrong.
When he wrote that,
you're not wrong.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, you're not wrong.
Thank God the kids weren't home.
I immediately texted somebody and said, guess what I just said?
Oh, God. I just said
it
somebody
is atrocious.
I said I used the phrase route chef, and I could hear him dab on the other text.
No, you didn't.
Yeah,
you didn't hear anyone
did.
Dab.
He's like, this dude too corny, and I got to put this up so everybody can laugh at this in my locker.
Oh,
that's what he said.
No,
that's what DK
and they're
said.
Like,
DK's like,
they're like, what did he? Did he have anything good to say? And he goes, yeah, this. Like, oh, he nailed you. That was exactly who you are.
These are the sounds. Lance.
Oh, that was. Oh, wait a minute.
Lance was doing this to himself.
Wait a minute.
He was doing this.
He's got you top 10. 31 teams passed on you. Even our team passed on you early on. Damn. What's up with this?
You were doing this to yourself after you got that line
off. I just put you at number 8 in the draft. And I'm like, because you know why? You know why? Because some people know.
No.
But all these players, this is not unusual. All these players, every one of them focused. Do you know that no player has a weakness?
Stop doing
you know
it.
What?
One thing I found is Quincy Wilson, no weakness.
You're
Dean
doing
Tabor, no weakness. Matt Judon, no weakness.
No, this whole segment.
Marcus
been,
Golden, you know no weakness.
This whole
NFL
segment.
NFL teams wouldn't draft him because of that garbage.
Yeah, they read that report like, Route Chef beat
I
it.
I gotta tell y'all should have been using my. The Texans should have been using my draft grades.
Yeah.
Who did I have higher? Will Fuller, Laquan Treadwell, or. What's his name? Dotson.
I don't know. Who did you have? Hired?
Will Fuller. Will Fuller is a top receiver.
Did any of those guys?
Steroid guy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I prefer my players. Yeah, I prefer my players to be strong.
Yeah.
And miss games
and run fast.
Hmm.
He misses some games, yeah.
Yeah.
Laquon Treadwell misses snaps. Josh Doctson misses football.
He's never on the field. How can
I know. Tell me if Josh Doctson was a top 10 receiver this year. Those are John's words. Snaps.
Well, he was a top 10 receiver because of Peds. Congratulations. Yeah.
757 ESPN. It's all.
He took something a doctor gave him that he didn't know was tainted, and the doctor didn't know it was tainted.
If you want to know the truth, that's really what happened. No. I'm not sure the doctor didn't know, if you want to know the truth. So, 758 on ESPN 97.5. I'll try to reveal as much as I can on the other side.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk right now about my bookie. How about Philly covering yesterday? A 2-point conversion with a 6.5. You think Doug Peterson didn't know what the line was? You think he didn't want? You know what? You take less heat as a head coach if your team covers. You take less heat as a head coach. So Doug Peterson, what did he do? Went for 2 and got it. And his team loses by 6 and they cover. And all Eagles fans are like, I don't care. You covered. That's all I need you to do. I don't care about wins. I care about covers. And at mybookie.ag, promo code radio, if you had the Eagles last night, bing, 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 winner, chicken dinner. Now, if you took down a 0.5 point, if you took Seattle and made it a 6-point, which you can buy 0.5 points, oh, guess what? I got to push. Sorry. Beat it, Doug Peterson. Listen, this is happening every day, and it's so much fun. If you're looking, I mean, a meaningless game comes down to the last seconds of it with Doug Peterson going for 2. That's the fun of playing football, watching and gambling and winning. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. They'll match half of your initial deposit. All you got to do is MyBookie.ag, promo code radio. Start playing, win, you get paid, and have fun. MyBookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5.